Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
What is the No Spin News all about?
You know that this is a fact-based analysis news program. You know that. We avoid speculation. We don't do conspiracies here. We don't do party politics here. We're not nonpartisan. That's wrong. Not that. Okay, we are advocates for a stronger America and a more just society. We don't believe in communism. We don't believe in socialism. We don't believe in nihilism. We don't believe in the progressive woke culture. We think it is un-American. We don't support that. So you should know what we are, and it would then crystallize what we do.
Listen to the No Spin News. Subscribe to Bill O'Reilly's podcast feed wherever podcasts are available.
I'm Mike Slater from the podcast Politics by Faith. This is a crazy time in our country. It's stressful, a lot of anxiety, and it's going to get worse. And I realized that one of the things that helps me take away the stress is realizing that there's nothing new under the sun. So on this podcast, we take the news of the day and we run it through the Bible and other periods in history to realize that we've been through this before and we can rise above again. Politics by Faith, anywhere you listen to the podcast, Politics by Faith.
Mike Pence may be running against Trump in 2024, Madison Cawthorn is ridiculed by RNC chair Ronald McDaniel, and why Selling Sunset is the best show on television, and its supervillain Christine Quinn is such a shrewd negotiator. This is Can't Cancel Rob Smith. All right, Problematics, hope you had a good weekend. I know that I did. The move to Miami is complete. I am officially a Miamian, or whatever you want to call it. Love this city. So let's get into it right now. Mike Pence is trending right now all over Twitter. It's, you know, everybody's in a tizzy. You know, the Twitter people get in a tizzy when political things happen. So he has told the New York Times that he's, quote, open to running against Donald Trump in 2024. All right. So, you know, the New York Times writer caught up with him. You know, they're doing a story, you know, basically Mike Pence is doing a lot of these events that are being seen as laying the groundwork for a potential presidential run in 2024. Obviously, the man has a lot of name recognition, a lot of power. He was the vice president. He's made, you know, a lot of moves since that presidency, you know, coming out against what happened in January 6th. He has said, you know, little subtle digs against Trump. He's not really come out full force and said, okay, well, you know, I didn't like Trump because of X, Y, Z, whatever. We'll probably see a lot of that stuff coming in, you know, coming up in the future. But the big headline now is that he's, quote unquote, open to it. And he says he's open to going wherever the party needs him. Okay, so read between the lines here. Mike Pence is going to challenge for the Republican presidential nomination in 2024. And so the reason that I said that he's going to challenge and not why I said that he's going to run against Trump is because this always assumes, and the mainstream media and liberals and all of that stuff, they love to operate under this assumption that Trump is absolutely going to run in 2024. And I believe that these people are trying to kind of will this into existence. I personally do not believe that this is 100% the case. And this is not based on any sort of inside information that I know. It's based on my gut feelings. It's based on seeing where the party is going, where the energy is, where the shift is, all of these different things. You have to look at a couple of things. You have to look at Donald Trump's age, okay? This is somebody that is literally in their mid-70s right now, will be in their late 70s, in his late 70s by the time he actually decides to make a run for it, if he decides to do that. you cannot run for president out of Mar-a-Lago. He would have to be out on the campaign trail. He would have to do things that are taxing and physically exhausting for even somebody 30, 40 years younger than him, okay? And also, there's the sense, number one, that if he runs, I'm sure, pretty sure he would not care about this, but I'm pretty sure that the powers that be in the RNC would definitely care about this, is that he would go on and on and on and on and on about how the 2020 election was stolen from him. And whatever side of the aisle you fall on when it comes to that, I think that we can all agree that I think a lot of conservatives and Republicans believe that getting stuck on that is just a losing proposition. And if you want to tackle it without necessarily getting stuck on it, you do what Ron DeSantis does in Florida, which is you actually govern on election integrity. You actually create laws to strengthen election integrity, right? And so when you're governing based on that, it is not saying that, okay, well, we believe that the election was stolen from Donald Trump. But anyway, I don't want to get into a tangent on that, but I do feel like if Trump runs again, that will suck up a lot of the oxygen. So then we're just going to have to relitigate the 2020 election all over again. And I don't think that people are very interested in doing that. I also think that Trump doesn't want to be seen as a two-time loser, because if he runs again and he loses, that is your political capital. That is it. And like I've said before, these people care very deeply about their political capital. So like I said, I don't know if it's 100% the case that Trump's going to run again in 2024. But back to Pence, and see how Mike Pence is so boring that I spent a lot of time talking about Trump. Mike Pence running, or his saying that he's quote unquote open to running, I have to be a little quote unquote journalistic here, because he hasn't said I'm running in 2024. So this is all speculation at this point. His running is indicative of this very rightward shift that I have seen in the conservative movement as somebody that is actively involved in it. I have seen a shift towards the right when it comes to things like the abortion issue, which we got into a couple of episodes ago, in things like even the gay and lesbian issue. And I'm not talking about the alphabet mafia stuff. I'm talking about prominent conservative figures basically saying that they would vote to overturn gay marriage equality, whatever you want to call it, if they could. So this stuff is going on out there. There's a very rightward shift in this movement. And the reason that we're seeing this shift is because there is an absence of leadership, okay? Trump was a unifying leader who brought a lot of different factions together. There was the Black conservative movement that I was a part of. I came into this world as not necessarily somebody that was, you know, cheerleading for Trump in the very beginning. It turned into that towards the end of his presidency, because the mainstream media was just outright lying. They were just lying about stuff and pointing out the hypocrisy and the lies of the mainstream media when it came to Trump made you a Trump cheerleader, because it was also blatantly obvious. So there was that coalition. There was this new gay conservative coalition that's, I would say, the leader of that is Rick Grenell, who was the highest ranking openly gay man in American history. You know, the highest ranking gay cabinet member in American history, bar none, when he became acting director of national intelligence. And the left can try to whitewash that and make Pete Buttigieg the first gay whatever all they want. It's just false, and everybody knows it, right? So there were the gay conservative movement. There were the evangelicals, who obviously did not like Trump's personal life, but he was fighting for things like religious liberty that they believed in. And they said, okay, this guy is in line with us in certain capacities, so we're going to overlook the divorces and the Playboy lifestyle and all that stuff. Fine. So Trump was very unifying for all these factions when he was a president, right? Because we were all sort of unified for his agenda. In the absence of him as president and as leader, there are a lot of different factions that are kind of jockeying for power right now. You've got the populists, who really do want that multiracial coalition of working class people. That is the, if you want to put me in any of these buckets, I am in that bucket. I believe that conservative ideas work. I believe that the Republican Party just has better policies. And I believe that you can bring a coalition of working class people together, regardless of race, regardless of sexual orientation, like any of that other crap, if you focus on the policies and the issues that will uplift all of our lives and make our lives better. I truly believe that. And I will always believe that, right? So you have also the evangelicals who believe that the country is moving way too far to the left on social issues. And when I say social issues, I mean the abortion on demand that is being pushed by the Democrats. I mean the alphabet soup agenda that now we know has completely infiltrated our public schools to the point where you have male teachers, and this is a real thing. Go check my Twitter feed at Rob Smith Online. I shared something from Libs of TikTok where you have male teachers bragging about coming out as non-binary to grade school children and wearing panties underneath their suits and posting about this on social media. So this is a very real thing that happened, right? And so the evangelicals think that the country is like going way too far left on social issues, and in some aspects they're right. So you have that faction. And then you have another faction who are the far right. And I mean, when liberals call somebody like me far right, or they call, or they'll talk, call Madison Cawthorn far right, or they'll call, you know, just any run of the mill Republican, oh, this is far right, whatever. There are people who are actually far right. And there are people who are actually racist and sexist and homophobic and all of these things that, liberals claim that every single Republican is. There are people on the far right that are actively that, okay? So these are people that are holding white nationalist conferences and you know, giving anti-Semites a platform to speak and saying that if you have sex with black men, you're a degenerate. Like, this is all of that stuff that's happening. So like I said, and they use sort of being conservatives and voting for Republicans as an excuse for this sort of behavior and this rhetoric that they engage in, which in turn is used to try to smear, let's say, 75 million people who voted for Donald Trump as quote unquote far right. So there are a lot of different factions jockeying for power. And what's going on right now is there's no unification right now. And so when it comes to Mike Pence saying that, yes, I'm probably going to make a run for it in 2024, will he get it? I do not think so. I just don't think that he appeals to enough of this. I don't think personally that Pence appeals to enough of the 2022 Republican Party to get the nomination, let alone appealing to enough of the country to get votes from independents and centrists. I do not see that happening at all. And I think that he is going, I think that he's going to run. And I think that when he does run, he's going to come at it from that very, very sort of Christian right evangelical mode. And that's good for him. I mean, it works for him. It's going to be good for his branding. He's never veered or swayed from that branding in his entire time that he was vice president. He has never swayed from that. So he literally has nothing to lose at all by running for president, which is likely why he's floating this stuff now and likely why we'll probably see an announcement sometimes after the midterms, because then it'll be 2023 and then all of that, you know, BS is going to start. But Pence saying that he's open to running definitely means that he is running. Is he going to get the nomination? Likely not. Should he run? Why not? Not going to hurt him at all. But like I said, I believe that the fact that he is even thinking about running, it is very indicative of the fact that the Republicans and the conservative movement right now is a leaderless party. He is trying to fill that gap. I do not think that he is versatile enough and appealing enough to bridge that gap. Speaking of Republicans, Madison Cawthorn is getting skewered for his dark MAGA comments by none other than RNC chair Ronna McDaniel. I will tell you exactly what she said after the break.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, this is Vivek Ramaswamy. The media has systematically lied to you. The Hunter Biden laptop story, the origin of COVID-19, the Trump-Russia collusion hoax, or how your money's being spent in Ukraine. Enough already with the lies. No more lies, hard truths only. That's what the Truth Podcast is all about. It's not standard conservative talking points. If you want that, go somewhere else. But if you want the hard truth delivered to you in a way that challenges you and will challenge me intellectually, you're not going to find anything like this on the internet. Subscribe to the Truth Podcast today on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As of November, Madison Cawthorn will no longer be a Republican congressman from North Carolina. He will be a concerned citizen like the rest of us. He was knocked out of the primary in a stunning, stunning upset last Tuesday. You know, we covered that a lot. I believe that he was knocked out by a state senator who was a friend to the party and obviously knocked out after a pretty concerted and concentrated effort from Republicans in power to get him out. They did not like him. They did not like his rhetoric. They did not like what he was saying. They certainly did not like things like him not voting to send $40 billion to Ukraine, which he is one of, I believe, 7 Republicans that voted against this. And like I said last week, look, this guy is 25 years old. He was a young person that acted like a young person, right? We've all been 25 years old. Very few of us have had the responsibility of being a congressman at 25 years old. If you listened last week, you'd know that I advise him to slow down, take a break, you know, take a break from this world. When you are in politics, when you are in this world, it is all consuming. And if you do not take a break from this world, and if you do not learn to kind of fill yourself in other ways that have nothing to do with politics or political power or who's doing this or raising money for this PAC or, you know, all of this stuff. If you don't do that, you will go completely insane. You will go crazy. And let me tell you something, a little kooky, a little crazy is what this message that he put on Instagram was. So I'm going to play you. This is Ronna McDaniel, who is the RNC chair. Does a very good job, raises a lot of money. She has been very successful. And this is her when she is being interviewed on Fox News, and she's asked about these comments. And I want you to listen to her response. And this is, I believe, on Fox News. This is Martha McCallum on Fox News Sunday. She's going to read the nuttiness that Madison Cawthorn said on Instagram.
All right. I just want to put this up on the screen. Madison Cawthorn obviously has gotten a lot of attention in this race. He lost his bid to retain his House seat. The president kind of supported him, the former president, last minute in that race. But here's what he just said, Madison Cawthorn. The time for genteel politics as usual has come to an end. It's time for the rise of the new right. It's time for dark MAGA to truly take command. We have an enemy to defeat, but we will never be able to defeat them until we defeat the cowardly and weak members of our own party. Their days are numbered. We are coming. What do you think of that? And what is dark MAGA?
I don't know what dark MAGA is. It sounds like scary. Some type of Star Wars thing, like the dark side of the Force. I don't know. I don't know what that is. Obviously, it was a very well-fought primary. Madison had some issues that came out. He was a rising star in our party, and we need to make sure we retain that seat with Edwards, who defeated him. And Madison did the right thing by conceding. We need to focus on the Democrats, and I would say this to every Republican. They are the ones in control. They are the ones destroying our country. And Republicans who are fighting each other constantly, that is not helping us defeat Democrats in November, and that needs to be the focus.
Okay, so look, there's a lot to break down here. And first of all, yeah, is, you know, Ronna McDaniel part of the swamp? Absolutely. Is she kind of right? Also, absolutely. So let's even break down what he said, okay? Obviously, he didn't listen to the podcast, so he's not taking my advice. But so this idea of the rise of Dark MAGA, and it's time for Dark MAGA to truly take command. We have an enemy to defeat, la la la. Look, guys, if you're around some of these people a lot, and I tend to be, and I have been around some of these people a lot, this is, like I said, if you allow this stuff to consume your life, it makes you a little kooky. We definitely see this with liberals. We definitely see this with Democrats, and we see this with some Republicans, right? And so there is an idea of what there is a nugget of truth in what he's saying, because what he's really saying is that there are a lot of Republicans in this party. There are a lot of people that have been sitting in Congress for decades right now. You do not know these people's names. They do nothing but play the game, collect the check, do all of the little backdoor stuff that they need to do to, you know, trade stocks and make money and all of this other stuff. And guys, look, this stuff happens on both sides of the party. It's why Nancy Pelosi is worth $178 million after being in Congress for 40 years. It's why, you know, we've got people on the right that are worth tens of millions of dollars after, you know, being in quote unquote public service for 40 years. Like, that's a part of the game. And what he's saying is that people that are not truly sort of embracing this America First agenda need to be rooted out and need to be kicked out. And I definitely get that. I understand that. So a part of this is a communications issue that is exacerbated by the fact that he is 26 years old, 25 going on 26 years old. And he's also in this, he's been sort of baptized into this world of social media where everything is a Twitter soundbite. Everything is rallying your base on Instagram. Everything is about how many views and how many clicks and how many followers you can get. And it's not about being sort of calm and being thoughtful and sort of maybe going to the center and seeing maybe, okay, how can I appeal to independents as well? And so that's kind of where that language is all about. It's very dramatic. It's very emotional. It's very much in line with where we are right now, sort of as a party, and where we are in this whole social media movement, right? It is something that I wouldn't recommend if I was running comms for Madison Cawthorn. It's a little off the deep end. And then again, Ronna McDaniel, who is right, by the way, is very good at her job. And also, and by the way, Problematics, I need you to know when I say these things, I do not take money for the RNC. I'm not working in comms for the RNC. I've never even met Ronna McDaniel. So when I say these things, I'm telling you what I actually think, because I'm not doing publicity and PR for the Republican Party or the RNC, because I have a lot of issues. And if you guys know me, you know what I think, and you know that I call these people out all the time. So yes, she's swampy. She's literally the queen of the swamp at this point, because it is her job to corral all of these people together and to corral the swampier members of the Republican Party and then say, hey, guys, you know, do what Kevin McCarthy and Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell want you to do. And so instead of fighting each other, fight the liberals and fight the left. And when you think about the swamp and you think about the Uniparty, you realize that, yes, all they want Republicans to be doing is fighting Democrats, because as far as the Uniparty is concerned, you know, people at the top are getting rich while Republicans and Democrats are always, you know, arguing with each other, sniping with each other. Liberals are the Antichrist, Republicans are racist, homophobic, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. These people continue to get a lot of money and a lot of power out of this, right? So that's what that is all about. So the RNC is a part of the swamp at this point. These people have destroyed, I don't know if they've destroyed Cawthorn personally, but they've certainly destroyed his candidacy. They certainly made sure that he was removed, will be removed from Congress. And notice her words. These people, this is a communications professional. She knows why she's using every word that she uses. She says that he was a rising star in the party. Think about that language. So look, the RNC is a part of the swamp. They destroyed Madison Cawthorn. They have no use for him anymore at this point. At some point, if he probably backs off a little bit, takes some time away, and decides that he wants to come back and play the game, they will use his celebrity, they will use what he had, and they will reward him to the tune of tens of millions of dollars, which is how this all works. But until then, this is a tough lesson for Madison Cawthorn. These people use you, abuse you, and then, man, you're talked about in the past tense. It's a tough lesson. Next up, to pivot a little bit, Selling Sunset supervillain Christine Quinn is one of the highest paid on the hit Netflix show. I'll talk about that, plus my undying love for Selling Sunset after the break.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Our problematics, look, let's switch gears a little bit because I do things other than obsess about politics and go on Fox News and be in that world. I am obsessed with reality television. I am obsessed with a woman named Christine Quinn on a show called Selling Sunset. If you do not watch Selling Sunset on Netflix, what planet do you live on? This is literally one of the biggest hits on reality television. It is completely iconic. It has run my life for the past 3 years outside of politics. And it is, this show is one of my favorite subgenres of reality TV. If you've never heard of Selling Sunset and you have not tuned out of the podcast, I'm going to tell you what it is. It is a reality show about a bunch of beautiful women selling luxurious, glamorous, high-end real estate in Los Angeles. It is incredible. And it's about the real estate, but it's also about how catty and petty they all are and seeing these petty reality television moments that we all love. And it's one of my favorite subgenres of reality TV. It's glossy. It's fabulous. It's very well produced. It looks beautiful. It makes LA look like a place. Like, we know LA can be a little bit of a blank hole, right? But it makes LA somewhere that you would really want to live. And it's all just real enough so that you wonder how fake it all is. So the villain of this show is a woman named Christine Quinn. It's like they created this icy blonde 6'2" reality show villain in a lab. It's absolutely perfect. If you have not been exposed to her, I'm going to play you this little supercut of some of her most iconic quotes from the show. This is, she's incredible.
It's just going to be like casual. I just want like stuff going on, like no big deal. Like Cirque du Soleil performer.
Okay.
Like, can we fly them in from Vegas?
For sure.
I'm thinking like a zebra here.
The zebra?
Yeah. Like sexual Phantom of the Opera.
Exactly.
Yeah, I had fun. I wasn't like, ah!
I love it. This is very like, I just killed my husband.
So as Britney Spears would say, you better work, bitch.
Yeah. Finally, I'm so tired of talking about everyone else's issues. Now we can focus on me.
I just want to say whatever I want and no one to get offended.
Is this so much to ask?
Gucci out. Well, you know about the Gucci bean out, but what can I say?
I'm sorry, like, I'm not a kiss ass. I'm not a pushover.
Are you going to Kashal's charity event?
Every day I spend my life with these bitches in the office. I mean, like, that is a charity event.
I mean, come on, guys. Like, this is reality television gold. But anyway, so she had a dishy article, which I thought was very interesting, about how she negotiated one of the highest salaries on the show that I think is very fascinating. So this is her. She was doing an interview with, she did a very popular podcast called Call Her Daddy. You know, millions and millions and millions of viewers, all of that other stuff. Where, so this is what she said. There are three different pay tiers for the cast. And she and the guy, Jason Oppenheim, who's the, you know, the co-founder of the Oppenheim Group with his brother, which is where all these women work, basically said, this is what she said. The reason she takes home the highest salary isn't because of any production agreement or screen time. It's simply because she hired her own lawyer to negotiate the best deal. She basically said, that was me with my entertainment attorney basically saying, this is my value. It's all about recognizing your...
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp's software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. Ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Currents issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Worth. Then she tells a story about how when they went into the show, they all have separate lawyers. She said the majority of the cast is represented by one lawyer, but she found her own attorney and she wanted to do her own thing. And she said that there's tiers. And she went to this entire cast full of women and she said, okay, if we need to get paid what I believe we all deserve as a whole, because we are all equals, we need to band together and be on the same page, right? Remember, this is how the Friends back in the day, they had $1 million an episode. They became the highest paid sitcom stars in history at that point because they banded together and they said, you know, all for one, one for all. We're all going to get the same thing, blah, blah, blah. So apparently these other women did not listen to Christine and they got their own lawyers and they wanted to sign the contracts and wanted to do all this stuff. So Christine Quinn got her own attorney and negotiated the highest salary in the show, in addition with Jason Oppenheim, who obviously is the co-founder of the group where they all work and had a hand in creating the show and all of that other stuff. And so I find this very interesting. Like, obviously, she is a very, very, very entertaining reality star. And by the way, Problematics, if you're digging this segment with a little bit of culture, I'm going to be doing a lot more culture because, like, I just get burnt out talking about politics all the time. There's a lot more in this world. I want to cultivate more of you who want to have a little bit of fun every once in a while. So you want to talk about housewives. We're going to get into the Beverly Hills housewives. We're going to get into the Atlanta housewives. We're going to talk about basketball wives. I love the wives. I love all of them. There is nothing that I enjoy more than watching beautiful, wealthy women get drunk and act petty towards one another. Whoever invented that genre of reality television, give them the Pulitzer, give them the Oscar, give them the Peabody, give them everything, because it has provided me an incredible amount of entertainment over the years. But, okay, let's get serious a little bit for a minute. The Christine Quinn situation is about knowing your worth. In Problematics, I am going to keep it real with you guys, okay? And, you know, maybe I'll turn people off, maybe I won't. I'm going to keep it very real with you because I always keep it real with you guys. When you are anybody in this world, when you're anybody that's not a white dude in this world, and you step up and you demand your worth and you know your worth, you're going to get the side eye. If you're a woman, you're going to get a side eye. If you're a black dude, you're going to get a side eye. If you're a woman that is, you know, an Asian woman or a black woman or a Latino woman, whatever, if you throw up numbers in terms of what you believe that you're worth, you're going to get the side eye. And the reason, and this is not me going all woke or CRT or whatever, this is just like, this is as real as the sky is blue. And the reason that white dudes are are better at getting more money is because they're bolder about asking for more money, right, in the first place. So if you are somebody that does not fall into that category, you better stand strong, put your foot down, know your worth, and be able to walk away and be ready to walk away. Because these people are not just going to give it to you. And I will tell you guys, problematics, I get a lot of checks. I've negotiated a lot of deals. Some I have lawyers negotiate. Some I have agents negotiate. Some I negotiate myself. And it is a muscle that you have to exercise, just like a muscle that you exercise in the gym. You have to exercise the muscle of either being strong enough to get a tough representative on your behalf to get the money that you are worth, or be strong enough to sit down next to somebody, look them directly in the eye, and say, I am worth X amount of money, and I'm going to tell you exactly why I'm worth this. And if you do not pay me this, I will walk away. Because, and it's not an ego thing, it's about knowing your worth. Christine Quinn, villain, iconic, somebody that knows their worth. And I think when we're talking about reality television, when we're talking about pop culture, all of this other stuff, politics is downstream from culture. Culture is not downstream from politics. So there's something to be gained from politics and culture in the world that we live in from a story like Christine Quinn's. So yes, and she literally has a book that is out. And this is not PR, whatever. It's just that her book is literally called How to Be a Boss Bitch. And so, yes, Christine Quinn is a boss bitch. Salute her for knowing her worth and also just giving iconic, iconic, iconic moments of reality television. Okay, problematics, before we go, I want to thank you so much for listening. If you're a fan of the show, please rate us with 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and write us a quick review. It is really going to help us out, and I really appreciate if you took a couple of minutes out of your day to do that. You can always follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Rob Smith Online, and you can listen to Can't Cancel Rob Smith every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday on Apple Podcasts, iHeart Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.